Ringers, Ringers, the 2020 special.
It's 6 o'clock on Friday, the 1st of January, 2021, and you're listening to Today. And for this special New Year edition, we're taking a look back at the momentous events of 2020.
Yes, it's the Today programme, now proudly sponsored by Bird's Eye Potato Waffles. So, as we know, 2020 was an eventful year. After the fifth straight year of devastating flooding, the government finally gave up, dividing the UK into a shallow and a deep end.
Russia angrily denied claims its medal winners at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics were on drugs after Vladimir Putin took home gold in the men's 100, 200 and 400 metres and the women's pole vault and javelin.
2020 was the year mankind received its first message from an alien species living hundreds of thousands of light years across the cosmos, beings eager to know if we'd been missold PPI insurance.
The Pope unexpectedly renounced all religion, revealing he'd only done the whole going to church thing in the first place to get his kids into a decent school. And in 2020, Idris Elba became the first black James Bond. In his first movie, 007 has to outwit the traffic cops who pull him over 8 times in the first 10 minutes for driving an Aston Martin.
2020 was a tumultuous year abroad, too. The American election resulted in a second term for President Trump. He ran on a pledge to build the wall he constructed on the Mexican border even higher.
The wall I built is not sufficient. Too many people are getting through. Ever since I got elected in 2016, there have been tens of millions of Americans fleeing to Mexico in search of a better life.
And 2020 was the year that the Today programme finally ditched the radio car as we began communicating with guests telepathically.
Hello, Theresa May. Can you hear what I'm thinking?
Yes, I can hear what you're thinking, John. Can you hear what I'm thinking?
Sorry, your thoughts are cutting out there. And another development was the introduction of jingles to Radio 4.
It's the BBC's flagship current affairs show.
I will never get used to them. And 2020 saw the first party political election broadcast to entirely consist of emojis.
Look, smiley face, rocket, thumbs up, winking face, two women holding hands, pouting cat face, closed umbrella, dolphin, checkered flag, clinking beer mugs, small blue diamond, dizzy face.
Not to be outdone, of course, the BBC introduced emojis to the hashtag book at hashtag bedtime.
A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, adapted for your listening pleasure by Harry Styles. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Winking smiley, sad smiley, hashtag bad times. It was the age of wisdom. Book emoji, pencil emoji, mortarboard emoji. TBHICBA. ROTFLMAO. This got hashtag gawks.
Trust us, if we knew, we'd tell you.
Radio 4.
Now, the 2020 general election was one of the most hotly contested in decades. By the time the election rolled around, the next prime minister was anyone's guess. This all led to Jeremy Vine having a very exciting election night.
Oh, here I am, the swingometer swinging like a swing. And the results are in. Oh, my word! A landslide victory for the SNP! It seemed their plan worked, dropping the voting age to 8 and giving out free... and giving out free moshy monsters with every vote. Let's go over to a press conference with Prime Minister Sturgeon and her deputy, Alex Salmond.
My dear British public, I have a simple message for you. Hiddly-dee, hiddly-dee. No time for losers, because we are the champions, you beauty!
Thank you, Deputy Salmond. Let me say this. I want to be clear that we're not bitter about the years of harsh English rule. But first order of business will be severe financial reparations. all the money, shelter and happiness in the UK will be forcibly moved to Scotland. And we're also electrifying Hadrian's Wall.
There was, however, still one remaining non-SNP Member of Parliament, one white knight, keen to stand up for what he believed in.
I'm Nick Clegg, and that's not my fault. Prime Minister Sturgeon, I will fight long and hard to get England an in-out independence referendum. I will not rest until you grant me this vote.
No. No, I won't be doing that.
Fair enough. Can't say I didn't try.
All in all, it was a glorious victory for the SNP. We were ruled entirely by the Scots for about a week, until Alex Salmond lost the rights to the country in a winner-takes-all gambling incident.
Well, he should never have taken me on out strip whiff-waff. Nobody knew I could hold a second paddle with that appendage. You're listening to Today. I look back at 2020. Coming up later, we ask, does Nike have too much power over the Olympic Organising Committee? As we exclusively reveal the design of their amazingly comfortable and surprisingly good value new high-top sneakers. First, with one of her personal insights of 2020, it's the BBC's political editor, Laura Koonsberg.
After their mauling at the general election in 2020, how would UKIP respond? Would Nigel Farage react the same way he did when he was evicted from I'm a Celebrity in 2018? Dropping his pants and pretending to go fly fishing with his todger.
There now follows a party political broadcast from the UK Independence Party.
I'm Nigel Farage. No, 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 let me speak. Look, I admit the 2020 election was an egg on face, arse on show, shirts up, pants down, knickers twisted, balls out disaster. So, we've changed the face of UKIP, and there was only one man with the skills, experience and public adulation to help us reinvent a waning political party.
Yep, hi guys, Tony here. And welcome to new UKIP. When Nigel asked for my help, I dusted off my concerned face, charged him my best mate's rates, 10 million quid for a 5-minute chat, and came out with some killer policies.
Tony and I have been working on some new slogans. Education, education, immigration.
Education, education, dodgy donation.
Education, education, oh God, I hope you're not a Croatian. It's a work in progress, but basically, new UKIP is going from strength to strength with Tony as leader and me as deputy.
Well, no. That's Douglas Carswell.
With me as key policy advisor.
That's Alistair Campbell.
With me as culture secretary.
That's Anton Deck.
Oh. With me as the gurning idiot who gets drunk at the Christmas party and tries to fart the national anthem.
Exactly.
Huzzah! Nothing's changed. Right. Education, education, I'm building a homophobic weather station.
So join new UKIP. With me calling the shots. Tony's back, biatches.
You're listening to Today. With a look back at the year 2020.
And now it's time for Thought for the Day, proudly sponsored by Old Scrumpy Cider.
New Year is a time of renewal. I am reminded of how it was Jesus who, at a wedding party, turned the water into wine. turned the water into wine? into Old Scrumpy Cider.
Old Scrumpy brewed longer for a smooth, mellow taste. It's a miracle how good it tastes. In May 2020, excitement built as the revised date approached for the long-awaited release of the Chilcot Report.
Now we take a quick look at the EU in 2020, brought to you by Senua Eduardo's Chorizo Emporium.
Ten cuidado el chorizo, el delicioso.
At the start of the year, Britain finally had the EU referendum they were promised in 2017.
Channel 4 News aired a special report focusing on the confusion surrounding the vote.
Confusion, calamity, catastrophe, just three words starting with C. I'm in a family home on the outskirts of Leeds to see how the result has affected an ordinary couple, Carol and Pete.
We were both a bit split, really, but in the end I voted out.
Aye, and I voted in.
That's right. So now Pete's part of the EU, and I'm not.
Because David Cameron couldn't be bothered to proofread the document, the referendum question ended up being, do you want to be in the EU? Allowing voters to opt in or out on an individual basis.
It hasn't changed the family dynamic too much, but, of course, if I want to roll onto Pete's side of the bed for a cuddle, I have to apply for a freedom of movement visa.
The process usually takes 6 to 8 weeks.
Let's take a look at the big media stories of 2020.
With rising populations and land prices at a premium, gardens were becoming such a rare commodity that gardeners' question time was finally axed.
It was quickly replaced by a more topically relevant show.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to computer-simulated holographic virtual reality gardeners' question time. Now, this question's been sent in via Snapchat. It says, when I try to fertilise my carrot crop, I get virtual garden error code HTML327/MX4. What should I do? Bunny Guinness.
I don't know. Water it more?
You keep giving that advice, Bunny, and it's very dangerous around electronics.
In 2020, any BBC Natural History programme still going had to adapt to a radically changing Britain.
Hello, and welcome to a new series of Coast. I say it's a new series. It might be a repeat. I can't tell anymore. Today's episode comes from the picturesque coastal town of Leicester. Which, thanks to the government's policy on flood defences, is now the UK's number one seaside resort.
In 2020, many other long-running programmes had to adapt to a changing landscape.
That's right. Michael Portillo's Great Railway Journeys was replaced by a doomed successor.
Hello and welcome to Michael Portillo's Great British High-Speed Railway Journeys. I'm setting out on a long, picturesque journey from London to Aberdeen.
You have now arrived in Aberdeen.
Oh, blast!
In 2020, cuts at the BBC became so extreme that BBC Three was now just the word youth spray-painted onto a field.
This was the year that BBC Four finally closed and was replaced by your granddad looking at a kettle.
While some shows were being axed, 2020 saw the launch of many successful new shows, including the top-rating Keith Lemon's OMG LOL Cats Do the Funniest Things News at 10, and on BBC Two, Carolina Hearn tapped into the nostalgia craze.
Hello and welcome to Who Remembers, the show that takes a nostalgic look at bygone crazes of yesteryear, from pet rocks to Tamagotchis to conversation. This week we're asking, who remembers the Labour Party? Comedian Eddie Izzard does.
Oh, yeah, Labour. Well, they're marvellous and completely groovy, yeah. They're the sort of party you can vote for them. Look at me, I'm voting for Labour. Vote, tick, tick, tick. And they weren't all nasty and horrid, like, ooh, no. And I was really into them for, like, forever. And I had all the badges and the T-shirts and the jam. And then I bought a puppy!
Sarah Millican also has fond memories of Labour.
Labour, they were the best. After school, my mum used to let me run to the corner shop and you used to be able to get 6 packets for 50 pence and they used to fizzle on your tongue. Oh, hang on, I think that was space rocks. Oh, well, I've no idea what Labour was then, sorry.
Ed Miliband now works as a children's party clown, Mr. Snuffles. But incredibly, for 4 years, he was leader of the Labour Party.
Well, obviously, those were very different days. Round and round, the wheels of... Back then, I went up and down the country, and on the doorstep, people actually told me they cared about the poor. Wheel of the bus go round and round. Well, it was only years later that I realised they were all being ironic. All day long.
Sir Ian McKellen fondly remembers Labour.
Oh, yes, Labour, we'll tell you. They were much like the Hobbits in so many ways, Ducky. Simple folk, kind, warm-hearted, generous, and easily wiped off the face of the earth by a marauding army of pure, undistilled evil.
But where did Labour go? We all remember the emergency election of 2018 called after Tory leader George Osborne briefly revealed his true non-human form. Let's go back to election night.
Welcome back. I'm here on a spaceship orbiting high above the planet for no obvious reason. With me in zero gravity are Michael Portillo and Diane Abbott. Michael, what for you have been the key points of the campaign?
Corbyn, Trotskyites, security, ISIS, Trident.
Your critics say the whole Tory campaign has just been you lot saying those five words over and over again. Your response?
Corbyn, Trotskyites, security, ISIS, Trident.
Diane Abbott. They're trying to scare the electorate, aren't they?
Andrew. They are, Andrew. It's very, very reprehensible. That all the British people, and in particular, Andrew, the people of Hackney, are far too bright and too brainy to be swayed by such blatant scaremongering.
Well, we'll soon know. As I'm hearing, we can now go to Jeremy Vine, dancing round a stone obelisk with some blokes in apes costumes for goodness knows what reason, for the all-important exit poll.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, what can I say? Whoa! Look, monkeys, oh my goodness, the exit polls are in. And it shows a Conservative landslide.
Jeremy Corbyn accepted defeat and retired from politics to pursue a new career of patting dogs in his local Wetherspoons. With Corbyn gone, the rules to select the leader were changed again.
Salam alaikum, peace be upon me. Thank you for making me the next Labour leader. And thank you for the faith you have shown in me to bring unparalleled levels of infighting to the party. Under the glorious leadership of me, the Labour Party will embrace the policies of true enlightenment, the abolition of the Bank of England, forcing all men upon pain of death to wear a rakish fedora, and of course, free cigars for all on the NHS. Give praise to me, for I am good. Now go ahead and salute my courage, my strength, and my indefatigability.
And so, Labour was quickly consigned to the dustbin of history. All that was left of it was a poem by Ian McMillan.
Labour Party, Labour Party, consigned to history. The only Ben they remember is the one from Kids TV. The only Wilson they recall is the one from Dad's Army. But they still remember Ed Miliband, unfortunately.
You're listening to the Today programme special. Today. A look back at 2020.
The continued dumbing down of Radio 4 meant that 2020 saw the introduction of a showbiz correspondent on the Today programme. Newsbeat.
thanks, my lovely Lady Hums. The big music news in 2020 was Adele finally returning with a follow-up to her first two albums, 19 and 25, with the surprise title, 30.
Over the hill, I see the number 30. Over the hill, that's what they're gonna call me. 'Cause I'm turning 30. What kind of things will I sing about when my music's not in? I'm too old to go out. Maybe a song about getting angry 'cause I couldn't find a parking space at Sainsbury's. Sobbing in my dressing gown, I missed today's countdown. No more party until three. I'll be at home with a nice hot tea. I won't need MTV no more, 'cause I'll be true to Radio 4. I'm turning 30. As the memory of clubbing slowly fades, I'll be in my gym jams reading 50 Shades, 'cause I'm turning 30.
Enough to catch up with Adele and ask her why it takes so long to release a new album. Yeah, I try not to come back too often because it's incredibly taxing on the vocal cords to change from my talking voice to a singing voice. Ellie Goulding's lucky she doesn't talk like Barbara Windsor in a Lost Carry On film. And to turn from that to my sexy, sultry singing voice is proper difficult. Hello. Oh, hello, big boy.
It's me.
Oh, bother me, bra's popped off. Oh, I am awful. But 2020 wasn't good news for everyone, especially celebrity couples. Yes, this year spelled Splitsville for power couples, including David Attenborough and Nicole Scherzinger, Melvin Bragg and Tiny Temper, and the 24-hour annulment of the shotgun wedding of Sandy Toksvig to Amir Khan.
Obviously, I was very disappointed that my marriage to Sandy didn't work out. But we split our possessions the fairest way possible. Three rounds in the ring, winner takes all. I lost everything, innit?
Staying with celebrities, and this year Coldplay frontman Chris Martin shocked the world with the name of his new baby, Alan.
2020 was a momentous year for the royal family. The Queen's shock abdication meant Prince Charles's 71-year wait to be king was finally over. Over two dozen people watched his coronation. Every celebrity hanger-on and ligger was there in Westminster Abbey to see the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Right Reverend John Lydon, place the crown atop Charles's thinning thatch.
Right. Do you, Charles, Philip, Arthur, George, Ringo, Windsor, Prince of Wales, Duke of Earl, founder member of the Goon Show, Appreciation Society, take this country to have to hold as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Do you promise to talk to everyone you meet of nothing else but the weather and ask them if they've come far?
I do. Have you come far?
Then I now pronounce you king and country. You may kiss England, Scotland and give Ireland a snog as long as you don't go too far south.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. One is overjoyed that the long wait is over. 71 years unemployed means I have a number of priorities as king. Homes Under the Hammer needs a revamp. It's got very repetitive over the last 3 or 4 years. Jessica Fletcher should be given a much greater role in policing our streets. and Channel 4 must stop moving Kitedine around in the schedule.
I'm sorry, Charles, we've just had word. There's been a change.org petition on Facebook. They've just usurped you.
Really? Oh, bugger.
Sorry, me old mucker, me old China, lava duck, your toast. Here, have some butter.
And it's nearly the end of this special edition of Today, where we've been... where we've been looking back at 2020.
Perhaps the highlight of most people's year was when blonde-haired, buffoonish Prime Minister Boris Johnson met his opposite number, the blonde-wigged, buffoonish President Donald Trump.
And they brought a whole new meaning to the phrase special relationship.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me.
Then if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me.
And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like, airstrikes are the only way to stop the savages of Liverpool. The time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupider like, we need a bigger hole in the ozone layer. It'll make it easier to fire all the Muslims into space.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something mind-numbingly crass like, I deserve to have my face on the front of the £5 note, but perhaps I was pushing it by having my arse on the back.
Then I go and spoil it all by saying something utterly downright batshit like, you know, sure, my wife's a foreigner, what can I say? My brain's a fascist, but my wanger's a liberal. Dirty Mexicans.
Whiffy whiff waff.
It's not a wig. I love you. But we're not fags, okay?
Dead Ringers was performed by John Coshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson, and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Niv Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, James Bugs, Sarah Campbell, Max Davis, Laura Major and Duncan Wisby. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Radio comedy production.